South Africans are often surprised by the achievements of its swimmers at the Olympic Games. Gold medalists Penny Haines, Chad Leclerc, Cameron van der Berg, and most recently Tatjana Schoenmaker have transformed them from unknowns into national heroes. In this interview, we'll assess the chances of the class of 2024, and we'll also find out how well South Africa's rowing team is placed to build on the 2012 gold and 2016 silver medals. Of course, it's Olympic time. And I'm really, really delighted to have Wayne Ridden and Paolo Cavalieri here to talk to us about the aquatic sports. Give us a little bit of an inside track for the BizNews tribe on what everybody else is going to get us, hopefully a very pleasant surprise. Wayne, let's kick off with you, and thanks for joining us from Australia. I guess you'd rather be in Paris?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they're a group of swimmers that I've been following for many, many years. And, you know, one of my ex-swimmers is there and performing. So, you know, let's hope that they can produce what we all expect. And, you know, I was lucky to be part of the 2000 Olympics. And we said, be careful, because the world was jumping to a new level. And I've been saying for the last 3 years since Tokyo, the world is going to be at a new level in Paris.
And Paolo, on your side, you've been involved with rowing. We've spoken about rowing going back some time. In fact, when we had a sponsorship on BizNews from RMB, are they still involved in the sport, in supporting it?
Yes, Alec, they are, and very importantly so. Lovely bunch of people and great support from RMB, which has made a big difference and has helped us to stay in the Olympic qualifying race.
It's quite extraordinary, really. Rowing is a very small sport, relatively numbers-wise in South Africa, yet we had a gold medal in 2012 and a silver medal in 2016. And given how few medals South Africa wins at the Olympics, that's quite an achievement. We're going to get back to you in just a moment, Paolo, to see how well prepared we are for the medal table this year. But when I had a look at the South African record of swimmers, it's the second most medals have been over the whole Olympics have been earned by swimmers, second only to athletics. And as I mentioned before, Penny Haines, Chad Leclerc, these are huge names. Yet of 149 athletes going to Paris, only 12 are swimmers. Just help us to understand why there's relatively few in the party.
Well, I'm not quite sure. I don't think the preparations were as good as what it should have been from Tokyo. I think we should have had more swimmers there, and I think we should have had more opportunities to bring relay swimmers into it, because it's always a breeding ground for the swimmers for 2028 by giving them some sort of incentive. And I think this has actually closed the door to a lot of our younger swimmers in making the team. So there's this window period that happens from World Aquatics now that allows you to qualify. So you don't have to qualify just at your trials. It's not like the big nations like Australia and United States. You've got to do it at the trials. You've got to come first and second. You can be third in the world on best time, even at Olympics, and not go away with a bronze medal because you can't have three for that country there. So for South Africans, they've qualified long before, and one or two did extra qualifying times at our nationals in Port Elizabeth in April. So it's a small team. I think it's a dangerous thing for the future. I think we're going to have a lot of building from now through to 2028 because, as I said, the world has jumped to a new level, and I don't think that everybody's really been noticing it. The Europeans championships that happened just over a month ago were incredibly fast. You saw the United States trials and you saw the Australian trials, you know, world records getting broken at those trials. And then they go straight into a camp, okay, and they prepare in Europe for something in Paris. Our swimmers left, the bulk of our swimmers, left on the weekend and went straight into the village and didn't really go through a training camp before that in Europe. It worries me that type of preparation has an expectation of gold and silver and bronze medals. But fortunately, everybody's going to lean on Tatjana Schoenmaker, now Tatjana Smith, racing there. But remember, in 2000, everybody expected Penny Haines to win the double gold medal again. It had never been done before, winning a double gold. Tatjana couldn't do that in Tokyo either, despite the fact that she was the fastest 100 breaststroker at those championships, she went home with a silver medal because she broke the Olympic record in the heats of the 100-meter breaststroke, but came second in the final. So people don't understand Olympic Games. If you're not ready for it, okay, you're going to lose out. And I'm hoping that they're going to actually be ready for it next week.
Are you telling us then not to put too much expectation on Tatiana, who won a gold and a silver at the last Olympics?
I really wouldn't. You know, Penny Haynes went from a double gold to 2000 with all the expectations. I actually happened to be the manager and the head coach for that 2000 Olympics. And I kept on warning the press. It's never been done before. She ended up with a third in the 100 breaststroke, okay, and didn't make the final of the 200 breaststroke. I don't think you're going to see the same thing with Tatiana. She could win the double gold. The problem is 104.85 is the Olympic record. So we've had a few girls already go faster than that time leading up to Paris. So you need to do under 104 if you actually want to take that gold, I think. So is Tatiana going to be fast enough because her entry time is into the 105.5 at the moment going into it? But I do believe that she's got the talent. It's not really the talent that is going to come through in that preparation. It's really the nerves that come with it and everything, because everybody that gets a lane in that final, there's a chance. So, you know, everybody wants it just as bad. So can that person come together in the final? That's what the big question is going to be. The 200 breaststroke for her, she's got more opposition than what she did have in 2021. So, you know, it's going to be a tough one for her. So that expectation, we should just calm it down a little bit and say, you know what, if you get a medal, that'll be great. And let's just hope that she can rise above that level. And she has the character. She's done the training. She is a professional swimmer. And I believe it's possible. It's just that the other people are also wanting it, and people mustn't forget that.
It's well to remember that South Africa won only 3 medals in total at the 2021 Tokyo Olympics, which were postponed because of COVID. And Tatiana brought 2 of them back home. So she certainly does carry the nation's hopes. Are there any other swimmers, though, Wayne, who we can be following all the way through over the next few weeks?
You know, it's always a difficult one. There's been a lot of pressure putting on Peter Kutsi in the 100 backstroke and possibly the 200 backstroke. But when you look at their world rankings going into this and what people have done in the last 6 weeks leading up to it, suddenly he drops down to sort of 11th and 12th and 13th in the world. So you'll be a semi-finalist. To go into that final is going to be the big thing. I know there was a comment from Gerard Zandberg, who's one of our top swimmers of the past, the backstrokers of the past, who made a comment about, is his backstroke start good enough, you know, to mix it at that level? And, you know, so the question will be, have they done enough work on his start to match the rest of the world? And he has the talent. You know, he's 0.8 off the top time in the world in the 100 backstroke. So there's a chance, as long as he gets the lane in the final. So he's a really big guy. You know, he's a young up-and-coming guy. He's done the work. He always races very well. He has an incredible finish, which is a huge bonus when you're racing at that level, because if you're nearby with 10 meters to go, he's the type of guy that can pull something off. So that's going to be quite an interesting one to see how he mixes it with the rest of the world. In the Commonwealth Games, he got medals, right? But most of the Europeans weren't there. So now he's up against a lot of the Europeans. And all of a sudden, you've got Ryan Murphy from the United States swimming really well. So, you know, I think this is his sort of like farewell Olympics. So, you know, I think he's going to be a tough one to beat.
How does it work in swimming? Do you have those who are coming through who are getting better and then go to the Olympics and in fact post their best times? Or do you have to peak at absolutely the right time if you're a more experienced athlete?
Well, if you have a look at the way our preparation has been compared to the leading nations, you know, Australia and America, they have their trials, they choose their team, they go straight into the training camps and they prepare straight for Olympics. So they go with the coaches that are selected and everything, goes straight into camp as a team, and they travel as a team. All that team spirit comes together because they're also trying to win relays and everything. So, you know, the relays are important. It's the medal count for those two nations. So we're doing it slightly different. We're going there to see what we can get. And it's a different preparation. We had a group going out ahead to Montpellier for a training camp. And then we had the group from Pretoria, you know, going in on their own over the weekend and arriving straight to the village. is it going to be the right choice? We don't know. We will only find out when they start racing. So hopefully it was the right choice. You know, it's never, it's a difficult one to know what to do before. But as long as they start swimming and we get a good start, Erin Gallagher starts off with 100 butterfly, and she's always been one of my favorites because she races and comes out with a smile whether she goes fast or not. And she's really prepared well at our nationals. She broke the South African record, 57.32. She's knocking on the door to the top girls in the world. Okay, but, you know, she's sitting in a position of 14th at the moment with that time. In America, you had the world record getting broken in that 100 butterfly. So if you really want to make the final and do well, you have to hit a low 56. So 56.8, you know, can you drop down to 56.2 or 56.0? Then you're getting into the final. And you never know, with a girl like that, she's strong enough, you know, she could do something in the final even. You never know. So that's a possibility. If she starts off well, I think the rest will follow, because the next events that follow are going to be the 100 breaststroke. So you've got Tatiana there. She's up against a tough group. She's sitting about third or fourth in the world at the moment on the entry. So, you know, but she's got to drop down to 104.3 on the best time that comes in there, which is now over a second faster than what she's been. So you've got both Tatiana and Peter Kutsi on the same day taking off. So if you get those first two days right, you're going to get the hype up and everything will follow from there. You've got Chad Leclerc, obviously one of the favorites in South African swimming. Sort of in his sort of veteran years, as we call them, you know, he's now, you know, in the 30s, and he's racing only 100 fly towards the end of the week, you know, so he's preparing for that. So it's going to be a tough one for him to go through the week and then pick up and race on the 100 fly. You've got Matthew Sates, who's doing 200 fly first. If he has a good 200 fly, the rest of the week will go well as well, but he's going to have to choose between the 200 IM and the 100 meter butterfly, because if he goes through to the semi-finals of the 200 meter butterfly, okay, he's got a tough one because it's going to clash with the 100 butterfly. So he's going to have to take a choice there. It was a difficult one in Tokyo, and it's still going to be a difficult one this year. Rebecca Meader is also a person knocking on the door of a possible final in the 200 IM. She got sick at the beginning of the year. She had her appendix out and everything, you know, but she's recovered fairly well. But she's a really good racer. And, you know, racing at the end of the week is the toughest. So if she can keep it together with the hype of the team, small team, hopefully that hype will come up and we'll get the best out of all of them.
So let's get the geus going with the South African swimmers, and maybe we'll have another Chad Leclerc top three finished. I guess that would bring a smile to everybody's face in South Africa. Paolo, from your side, there's only three rowers going this time round to the Olympics. You guys, the rowing team, have got just an incredible record if you consider how well they've contested Olympics in the last, certainly two of the last three. What are the chances looking like this time around?
You're right, Alec. We've punched above our weight. We have two boats, a single scull, Paige Badenhorst. It's her first Olympics. We qualified the boat at last year's World Championships. So the process with rowing is quite different to swimming. We have a World Championships every year. And in an Olympic year, the World Champs is obviously replaced by the Olympics. And so the qualifying regatta for the Olympics is a year before at World Championships. And each country qualifies a boat, not the athletes. And it's usually the top eight that qualify automatically. And then depending on the boat category, they may have two or four slots available at another event later in the year. So in our case, we qualified the women's scull last year, and we qualified the men's coxless pair. In Paige's case, as I said, it's her first Olympics. She qualified for this boat a few months ago. So we are aiming with her to be in the top 12. It would be an amazing result for her, particularly given that she's not a sculler at birth, if I can put it that way. But he's certainly moving the boat really well. And, you know, as a single sculler, anything is possible.
What does it mean, Paolo? A single sculler? Does it mean she's on her own pulling?
One person, two oars. So you're on your own.
One person, two oars.
You're on your own and you've got two oars, and it's very individualistic. Usually, scholars need to be a little bit crazy. You might find them in the stroke seat at the front of a crew because they're racers, naturally. They love racing. But it's a lonely game, Scaling. It's very tough.
Is Paige a little bit crazy?
I hope so. It's good to be crazy. A little bit crazy is always good in life. The men's pair is an interesting mix. We have John Smith, who's around the right side of 30. Interesting to hear, Wayne, your comment on Chad and how swimming has evolved. You know, when I was rowing competitively many, many decades ago, a swimmer would be done and dusted by age 21 or something like that. And yet today we're seeing that these athletes are able to perform at a really high level for a longer career than that. So in our case, John Smith, probably one of the top oarsmen in the world, weight for weight or power for weight, and a third-time Olympian. He was in the gold medal boat in London. In fact, a fourth-time Olympian. He was in the gold medal boat in London. He qualified for the finals in Rio. We had highs and lows in Rio. We qualified five boats for the top six, and three of them at least were medal prospects. But unfortunately, two out of the three didn't make it in the medals, and John was one of them. And then post Rio, he was part of the Coxus Four in Tokyo, which was number two ranked in the world, but unfortunately had a very, very tough Olympics. So for John, I think this is a swan song, but he brings a lot of experience to the boat, and he's beautifully matched by Chris Baxter, who is in his mid-20s, and the combination has been really quick. We had a World Cup regatta about 6 weeks ago where they finished a very close fourth. So the first aim, I think, for our Coxus pair is to make the final. There's six boats in the final, and then from there it's in God's hands and in the hands of the team to produce the results at the end of the day. So we're hopeful for a medal, and you know, as South Africans and in the world of today, we're all focused on winning. And of course, winning is not everything; it's the only thing. But in the context of the Olympics, a medal, no matter what color, is an amazing achievement. And so we're really hopeful that this Coxus pair can produce a medal, and that John can sign off his career, if that's what he decides to do, with a fantastic performance in Paris.
Is there much tactics in rowing, or is it a question of just go as fast as you can for as long as you can?
So rowing, like certain of the swimming categories, is roughly a six-minute race. It's a standard distance of 2,000 meters. And yes, there is an element of tactics for sure. Some boats come out slow, finish fast. Others, perhaps the other way around, go out fast and then try and control the race and hold on at the end. But frankly, today, at this level, I think it's balls to the wall from the start to the finish. And you know, as Wayne said as well, the reality is that at every Olympic Games, the standard lifts, and rowing is no different. So it's in fact managing the week, because we start with heats, we then have semifinals, and then the finals. So it's three races over roughly 6 to 7 days. If you don't qualify for the semis in the heat, you have a second chance, a repechage as they call it, which means that you race then four times. That's pretty undesirable, because you want to have as little racing in your body when you get to the final. But one needs to manage that week, you know, and the preparation that we have, usually we train to peak at the final. And so the heat is usually quite a difficult race, because the crew's still in recovery phase, and all we need there is for them to come second or third to qualify for the semis. And just, you know, hold themselves back as much as they can, so that when we get to the final, we can put it all on the tables.
And where do they do their rowing? Where's the rowing event held?
So the rowing event is in the east of Paris, at a rowing center called Vaire-sur-Marne. Marne is a tributary of the Seine River, which flows through Paris. And it's a bespoke rowing center that the French built some 20 years ago. And so the facility was already there. And that's where it'll be. So it's a short train ride out of Paris. And it's a beautiful setting. Paris itself is beautiful. It'd be lovely to be racing in the Seine, but we don't want to have to deal with currents and situations like that. We need water that is as neutral as possible across six lanes.
Sure. Fascinating insight. When the swimming, over what period is it being held, and when should we be glued to the television sets?
Well, it starts on the 27th, that's Saturday, and they'll head off for 8 days in a row. So basically, each of those events will be a heat in the morning, a semi-final in the evening, and then the following evening is going to be the final. So, you know, you'll be able to see, you know, every day we are involved. As I say, you know, Erin Gallagher could start us off on a good note by making a semi-final on that first day. And the next day, you've got Tatiana in the 100 breaststroke, and Peter Kutsi in the 100 backstroke. And then Amy Kenny, who trains in the United States, she's doing really well in the 200-meter freestyle. That's her only event, but it's her, like, really prime event. You know, she's really strong at it. And putting to Dean Price in Montpellier, she was swimming really great. She trains alongside Kate Douglas, who's going to be that main opposition in the 200 breaststroke for Tatiana Skoonmaker. We'll keep it as Skoonmaker. Everybody knows her as Tatiana Skoonmaker instead of Tatiana Smith. And then obviously you start off with Matt Sates does the 200 fly. And then it goes into that 200 breaststroke in the middle of the week. And then Peter Kutsi is doing 200 meter backstroke. So he should feature in both of those backstrokes, where it just depends on how that event goes for him. And again, you've got Kayleen Corbett, who was fifth in Tokyo in the 200 meter breaststroke. She nearly broke two minutes 22 in that 200 breaststroke, which is really, you know, in top class. If she can go under 2:22, she's going to be knocking on the door to, you know, get a similar position to. I think it's the first time you're going to get three or four ladies under 2 minutes 20 in that 200 breaststroke. Unfortunately, the Russian girl who broke the world record, Chikhanova, is not going to be there. So she holds the world record at the moment at a 2:17.55. So that broke Tatiana's record that she broke in Tokyo, you know, which was 2:18.95. So that's a huge amount under. So she's not going to be there. And she was fourth in the 100 and the 200 in Tokyo. And you know, because of the Russian problems that they'd got there, you know, she felt it was unsafe for her to compete. So it's a bit of a pity because, you know, there's always going to be that question afterwards, you know, if she doesn't perform. And then obviously we're waiting for Chad and Rebecca right near the end. You know, Chad Leclos is just doing the 100 fly and is going to put everything into that. 100 butterfly just to make that semi-final for him is going to be tough. You know, he's got an entry time of 51.48, and that only seeds him 25th at the moment. So now, you know, to get top 16 off that, he actually has to break 51 seconds, in my opinion. So it's going to be a tough one. I know that he did sort of mention, you know, along the way that, you know, he's sort of like written off the Olympics a little bit, and he's going to concentrate more on the World Cup and the World Short Course Championships at the end of the year. So, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Wayne Ridden bringing us up to date on the swimming, Paolo Cavalieri on the rowing. Let's hope that we see the South African athletes once again making us proud. Paolo, you got a last little comment?
Yes, great to hear the name Dean Price. We were at school together. Chris Baxter is also a Kess boy. So go the Reds. And Wayne, good luck to the swimmers. Be fantastic for them to set the scene for us with a couple of medals.
And I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.